You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's 27 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to the SAFM Market Update. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Jimmy Muyaha this evening. So, the final composition of a government of national unity has not been announced as yet, even though speculation is rife that an ANC, DA and IFP alliance is on the cards, especially following that presser by the IFP yesterday confirming its participation in a unity government. And you would have heard time and again that the markets are keeping a keen eye, or investors are keeping a keen eye on South Africa's political landscape. But what does that mean? We take a look at economic policies that are likely to be birthed from an ANC-DA unity government with Azza Jameen. He is an economist, and we did promise to speak to the former statistician general. Unfortunately, he could not join us this evening. Mr. Jameen, thank you very much for your time and for your grace this evening. Let's firstly start by taking a look at South Africa's economic policies over the past 30 years. How would you characterize them?
Essentially, we've had economic policies that we began with that were fairly responsible under the Mandela and the Mbeki regime. Yes, there were a few mistakes that were made, but by and large, they helped to generate a substantial improvement in economic growth compared with what we had experienced in the apartheid era. Between 1994 and the year 2000, the economy grew by around 3%, and that accelerated to well over 4%. In fact, was over 5% between 2004 and 2007. Then, for whatever reasons the ANC knows, only they would know, there was a deliberate attempt to try and remove Thabo Mbeki as president, which succeeded. And we had the Zuma regime coming in. Effectively, that was a change of government. And what you had was the replacement of many capable public officials by Zuma acolytes, and the grand scheme was to enrich their, the people close to him. And that saw the start of the emaciation of a lot of the country's institutions, and the embarkation upon what has come to be known as state capture, corrupt activities in which a lot of the infrastructural programs that were needed to uplift service delivery were diverted. A lot of people close to Zuma profited from them, not least of which were Gupta family, but there were many others as well. And that saw the South African economy declining. The growth rate from around 4-5% during the final Mbeki years slumped to 1% or less, and has not recovered since then. Although the Ramaphosa regime has tried to ameliorate some of the damage done by Zuma, the impact has been so far fairly negligible. It may be starting to manifest itself right now in terms of an improvement in electricity supply and in the logistical bottlenecks, but it's still very early days to draw such a conclusion. There are some basic weaknesses in the economy that need to be addressed and have not yet been addressed, in part because the ANC itself has been completely divided in terms of what approach to take, whether to take a market-oriented approach that involved the private sector, or whether to have the government dictating left, right, and center and regulating more and more how to manage issues.
We've had a government of national unity before. Is it worth assessing how the economy fared, albeit for a very short time?
Well, it's probably unfair to because what we had was a complete change in regime. You had the death of an apartheid government and its replacement by a new government. So there was a lot of enthusiasm. And certainly for the first couple of years, that helped to stabilize the situation. And I suppose that is what people are looking to for this government in, of national unity to try and achieve as well. The difference is, of course, though, that it does appear as if the current, the new GNU is not really going to be a government of national unity, but a government of national unity as far as those who believe in a certain philosophy and will exclude some of the, well, two main parties who believe in a different kind of economic philosophy, namely the MPA and the EFF. So to that extent, it won't be a government of national unity, but some people would prefer to call it a coalition between centrist parties.
What has disallowed the South African economy to be, I don't even know if inclusive is the word, so I'll rely on you here, because you've got national interest versus capital interest versus political interest, right? Where we are known as the most unequal society in the world. Over half of the population is not working. People are depending on grants.
Yes. There are a number of factors that have contributed to this. First of all, you know, during the apartheid regime, the country was isolated, and that meant that the business, the big businesses, couldn't take their money out of the country and simply use their cash revenues to buy out smaller businesses. That led to the huge increase in the concentration of power in big businesses and stifled the development of small business enterprise. Not entirely, obviously, but by and large, if you compare South Africa with other emerging markets, the small business sector is just nowhere compared with where you have other countries where people are readily employed running their own businesses. And that's not the case in South Africa. And even the narrative that the government and other political parties keep we've got to try and produce jobs. You know, you can't produce jobs from the top. Jobs are produced from enterprise and entrepreneurship at the bottom. That's where you get the most number of jobs. That's why you get in a lot of emerging markets that they, you know, they may not be as well developed in technologically in certain areas as South Africa is, but everyone has a job because he's running his own business. And the second problem has been the education system has let us down badly. We are just not seeing the development of enough people with the correct educational qualifications, and here one is not confining it just to university degrees. It's also manual labour, technical skills, and that kind of thing, which are just not chic enough there for people to follow, unfortunately. Whereas in the old days, that's the one thing the apartheid regime did do well, is it found a lot of jobs for its own white Afrikaners in the Suid-Afrikaanse Spoorweë and Lughaven, you know, these base where they're taught basic mechanical skills and that kind of thing that is in very short supply at the moment and could easily soak up a lot of the youngsters who are unemployed if they were to just be redirected into that direction. But then on the skills side as well, what we've failed badly in is developing skills in maths and science, which are vital for the development of information technology and the fourth industrial revolution.
Azza Jameen, when you speak of basic weaknesses that need to be addressed, would those be some of them, right? Because when you take a look at this burgeoning population, people who are not working, crime levels that are insane in South Africa, and some say, who are sociologists, that that is a direct result of people not having anything to do about their day. When you speak of small businesses versus, you know, or rather the informal, so-called informal economy, what is so informal about it? Are these some of the basic weaknesses that need to be addressed?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that you broke up at the end.
I was asking five questions in one because my mind is boggled. Let's start with the basic weaknesses that need to be addressed.
Well, the basic education, You know, we've got 15% of our educational system is excellent, outstanding, world class. The other 85% is really leaves much to be desired. And that applies not only to it's to tertiary education, secondary education, primary and early childhood development, the same thing. A lot of the problem also can be stems from sociologic problems, where in South Africa just 30% of the young children actually live with both parents at home. And so they don't get that early development of education that is required right at the start. But it, you know, the point is we've made very little progress in overcoming that shortfall. And as I say, on the mathematics front, you know, when you get 3 out of every 100 children that start school, only 3 end up with getting 60% or more for maths in matric. That would qualify them to really join the mainstream of a technologically advancing economy. You know, you're on a path hiding to nothing. Then you're not doing enough to try and absorb those who are not so mathematically inclined and who could become bricklayers, welders, mechanics, you know, many of those menial jobs that could are actually at the moment paying quite well, and people can make a very good living out of them, but not enough of people are being attracted into trying to do that.
If I had a rand for each and every single time the Democratic Alliance took the ANC to court and actually won, I would be, what, 100 near whatever that could be, right? But going forward, if indeed the ANC, the DA, the IFP do collaborate and other smaller parties, what needs to happen in the name of national interest economically to lift us out of the slump? Or are we expecting too much?
I don't think we're expecting too much. The one thing that could come out of this that I think is extremely positive, you're going to have oversight of each of these parties over each other. And by the way, I would like to think that some of the smaller new parties might also join, because there's some very capable individuals within them. And you then suddenly have an environment in which the whole concept of state capture is opposed with vehemently, and corruption is opposed vehemently, and you suddenly find the state finds that it starts generating resources that it thought were never available because they were being siphoned off through politicians' pockets in the past. I think that is one of the areas where we could gain enormously through a government of national unity that we haven't had, with an ANC that has been bloated and complacent, and where many of the members, and I must emphasize not all of them, but much of the membership has really been out to just make a lot of money for themselves and to hell with the rest of the country, which is one of the reasons why the party has lost so much ground.
Azad Jameen,
so that is one area of optimism, I think.
I think we do have time for this one question. It was in the five-in-one question. When you speak of businesses starting or entrepreneurship or growing the economy from the bottom up, right, you have what we call the informal economy, quote-unquote, in South Africa. When you go to the townships, you go to the CBD, etc., you've got small businesses that are operating very well there. And so this concept of a township economy, quote-unquote, where you also have big business that is playing in the same economy, what does that mean? Because are you then not stifling the entrepreneurs that are coming up?
You're absolutely correct in that, and that's where I think a government of national unity could start playing an influence, especially a party like the DA, which has interests in the private sector, can start playing a very significant role in trying to diffuse that smothering of small business activity and letting it thrive in a big, big way. I was amazed last year as I went on holiday in Peru and just saw just how I didn't see any shopping centers. Mm. You had a lot of why? Because you know everyone had his own shop, and I know it's a bit unwieldy because there's a lot of traffic jams, because everyone, you know, you don't have one big parking place to go, etc. But people are employed. And hopefully that helps to reduce and limit the scope for criminal activity. Not to say that it doesn't exist in countries like that, but it's nowhere near the same as in South Africa.
Fair enough. Mr. Jameen, thank you very much for your grace this evening. Azza Jameen is an economist.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.